This is Brian Cambria with the KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, October 29th, 2013. Grand Junction area police are looking for a man who they say pepper sprayed a woman yesterday morning before stealing her pet monkey. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, the monkey's owner is a Missouri woman who had apparently traveled to Grand Junction to sell the animal after corresponding with the man over the internet and via telephone. But when she met the man in the parking lot of a La Quinta Inn, police say the man sprayed her in the face with pepper spray, took the pet monkey, and fled. The incident reportedly happened around 6 a.m. Authorities say the animal, a black cap capuchin monkey, is illegal to possess in Colorado. However, Parks and Wildlife spokesman Mike Porras said no charges will be pursued against the woman by his agency. Capuchin monkeys are native to Central and South America and are considered among the most intelligent non-human primates. They are the species most often associated as the companions to organ grinders in the last century and have been used as companion animals themselves. The Daily Sentinel also reports a Mesa County judge is considering tossing out a guilty verdict in the case of a man accused of threatening local police officers through Facebook. 32-year-old Kenneth Wheeler was found guilty on two counts of sending threatening interstate communications. Wheeler is currently in federal custody and is scheduled to be sentenced on January 15th. U.S. District Judge William Martinez had previously said he'd consider post-trial arguments to dismiss the verdict after allegations that the FBI agents investigating Wheeler continued asking him questions after he'd requested a lawyer. Wheeler's attorney has argued this was a clear violation of Miranda rights. According to the Sentinel, it's still unclear when the judge may rule. For this week's IC Change Report, KVNF's Travis Bubenik explores how the rising threat of wildfires in Colorado might not necessarily be as big of a problem for wildlife as for humans.
Recently on The Almanac, Peter Cullen noticed he hasn't seen many bears in the mountains of New Mexico this year. Bears are foragers, and Cullen says the lack of pinyon, oak, and juniper trees caused them to head down to mountain towns looking for thrown away leftovers. And that got us thinking about our bear populations here in western Colorado. Though the San Luis Valley doesn't have the largest bear population in the state, they're still around. And if you think back to this summer after the massive West Fork fires, it's not hard to imagine bears and other wildlife wandering, lost and hungry, in the charred remains of beetle-killed trees. But as wildlife biologist Stephanie Ferrero tells it, wildlife aren't nearly as scared of fire as we are.
One of these bears that was near the Durango area ended up heading quite a few miles away to go investigate a fire, apparently.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife researchers tracked that bear during a fire near Pagosa Springs a couple years ago. But it's still a good example of how wildlife respond much differently to fires than humans. Before and after the West Fork fires plagued the Rio Grande and San Juan National Forests, Ferrero and other researchers studied the movement of elk with radio collars.
What we were finding is that the elk that we had there stayed, in general, within that area, even with the burn going on.
Wildlife generally don't run from fires. Instead, they just gravitate towards safe pockets of trees that aren't burning. And Parks and Wildlife spokesman Randy Hampton says fires are actually a good thing for wildlife. They're essentially nature's way of cleaning out the refrigerator. The flames clear up overgrown vegetation and give animals better access to food.
When a fire moves through and clears out some of those older berry bushes and new ones spring up to replace them, you actually get more forage for bears.
Leftover mineral-rich ash acts like a fertilizer in the soil. New bushes can spring up with sweeter, larger berries. Very enticing for bears in particular. Fires also clear out overgrown tree canopies and open the ground up to more sunlight. Grasses can start growing in places where they didn't before.
So now think about that from an elk's perspective. You know, if you're an elk that relies on, you know, grazing along, that grass is important.
Ferrero says those newer, more abundant food sources can also encourage population growth in some species, or at least population resilience. She says there were quite a few elk calves and fawns around when the West Fork fires hit.
all summer long, they were able to forage on this new growth that was available to them. And that gives them much better chances as they go into winter to be able to survive because they're much more fit. It's been a phenomenal season so far for the hunters. They have been able to find so many more elk, and the elk have really keyed in on the new forage that has been produced because of this fire.
She says these observed benefits of the fire show the need for regular small-scale controlled burns. This summer's fires in southwestern Colorado burned so hot because the fuel there had been building up for decades. But doing those targeted burns is easier said than done, especially when you're dealing with increased home development in forest areas already prone to wildfires.
To get all the permits approved and to burn at just the right time and all of those details that have to come together, it is getting to be more of a challenge.
Randy Hampton says the growing complexity of dealing with fires from the human perspective is a relatively new problem.
It really wasn't until the 1980s that we were capable of or had the need to put out these large fires.
But he says that while fire is perhaps becoming more of a threat for us, you can't necessarily say the same for wildlife. Hampton cites a massive fire that burned around 3 million acres across the West in the early 20th century.
Wildlife survived the Great Fire of 1910. Bears and all the other critters survived pretty darn well, you know, long ago, before we were putting fires out and worrying about them.
For IC Change and thealmanac.org, I'm Travis Bubinick.
New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg has donated just over $1 million to the campaign supporting Amendment 66, the proposed state income tax increase to fund Colorado public schools. According to the Denver Post, Bill and Melinda Gates have also donated $1 million, bringing the campaign's fundraising totals just past $10 million. As the Post reports, state Republicans have previously criticized Bloomberg for his involvement in Colorado issues, calling him, quote, the de facto governor of Colorado, end quote, after state Democrats proposed new gun regulations. Bloomberg was also involved with the recent recall elections of two state lawmakers, donating $350,000 to campaigns supporting Senators John Morse and Angela Yeron. Governor John Hickenlooper, along with other supporters of Amendment 66, reportedly welcomed Bloomberg's donation, saying the mayor had been a champion of education reforms in the past. Bloomberg has referred to Colorado's Amendment 66 as a, quote, rare comprehensive blend of smart investments with smart reforms. Meanwhile, opponents of the measure called out Hickenlooper for criticizing out-of-state money during the gun debate, yet welcoming it during this one. Kelly Mayer, the executive director for the Amendment 66 opposition group Compass Colorado, described Hickenlooper's praise for Bloomberg this time around as hypocritical and said it represents an inability to take a firm stand on any issue. Ouray County is set to receive around $12 million from the Colorado Department of Transportation for two highway projects. According to The Watch, the projects are part of the statewide Responsible Acceleration of Maintenance and Partnerships program, also known as RAMP. The program aims to speed up the completion of transportation projects across the state. RAMP will help give the city of Ouray $1.6 million for the Skyrocket Box Culvert project on Highway 550. Ridgeway will be receiving $10.5 million to add a center turn lane to Highway 62 and to make infrastructure improvements downtown. However, Ridgeway voters will have to raise $2 million in matching funds to get the RAMP money. According to The Watch, Ouray's Skyrocket project will upgrade and renovate Skyrocket Creek, the waterway prone to flash flooding that has one of the highest runoff rates per square mile in the state. A diversion and dam structure dating back to 1929 takes constant management. Flash flooding from the creek has on occasion blocked traffic on Highway 550 completely. The RAMP funding will be used to build a much larger culvert capable of handling large amounts of debris in the event of a catastrophic flood along the creek. Thus concludes this morning's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.